You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Warwick on this edition. We've also got racing at Wetherby, Lingfield and Chelmsford. There's also an Irish card inspection pending over at Nace. It's Darren Owen, Andy Holding and Mick Norton who will be the team in the studio guiding you through all of the action from 12:15pm. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on this edition of the podcast is Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
I'm good, Sam. How are you doing?
Good, yeah. Not too bad at all, thank you. Just want to start with some of the news stories, Paddy. We'll start with yesterday's action and the headline performer yesterday, of course, over at Thurles, Don Cossack, returned to winning ways by winning the Grade 2, but it's been not criticised, the performance, but it certainly hasn't lit anyone's fire.
No, you could say that, but look, the lads have got one day in mind, which is March, you know, which in racing terms is a good way off, yeah, but he was a little bit lackadaisical, a little bit casual. I think it was the word Gordon Elliott used afterwards, a bit casual. He said he'd worked him in headgear at home. I think maybe cheap pieces. I don't think the full blinker, but when he was asked yesterday, when he was interviewed after the race, he said he certainly wouldn't hesitate in putting headgear on him, you know. But he knows the horse inside out now, and it wouldn't be because he's ungenuine or any sort of issues like that. He just knows he's a little bit casual, because when these horses are generally better than the others, they get a little bit lazy. You know, we'd be the same. You know, if you can run faster than someone else, you're not going to kill yourself every single time. You'll just do enough. And I think that's all he was doing yesterday, but jumped fine. And by the time he went down, popped the last, he'd won very, very snug. And I was pretty taken by it. You know, I like horses that always just save that little bit, because that bit will be there when you ask it on the day when you need it, when you really need it.
Yeah, and I think you and me have had the conversation before. It's a similar characteristic level to Don Polly, and he's many people's idea of a bet for the Gold Cup.
Mm, yeah, his just stamina looks bottomless. You know, he's not an impressive horse on the eye. He never has been, but, you know, he just grinds. But you could stop the majority of his races that you could stop at halfway, and the amount of times you probably couldn't have him in the three. But look, it's what's on the page at the end of the day, and he gets the job done, and that's why Brian Cooper has always been very keen on this horse as a Gold Cup candidate, because he is yet, in his opinion, to get to the bottom of this horse, and that's what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to quickly go back to Don Cossack then, as you say, we might see cheap pieces on the big day. Haven't seen a Gold Cup winner with headgear since Seymour Business wore the blinkers, Paddy. It's not something we associate too much with these top class horses. Normally it means there's a little bit of something wrong with the horse.
Yeah, I suppose people will think that, but I think this horse especially, Gordon Elliott alluded to the fact yesterday as well, that he was racing on typical Irish ground, and I'm pretty sure the last two meetings at Thurles have been off. So, and you know, Irish terms, from what I gathered reading newspapers, people were very, very surprised that Thurles was off, because it's a sort of track that can handle proper deluge, and they actually lost two meetings in a row, so it must have been a proper swamp. So yesterday, you could imagine ground won't have been very enjoyable, and Gordon Elliott did allude to that fact that this horse wouldn't really have been right up his street, the ground yesterday.
Yeah, okay, we look forward to seeing Don Cossack then in the future. Just also want to touch on, it's a subject that we seem to be continually coming back to, Paddy. The whip rules, BHA yesterday announcing that they're going to be taking a more serious view and sterner actions on jockeys breaking the rules in your Group 1 and your Grade 1 races, because offences in those races have doubled, whereas in your more mediocre middle-of-the-week races, it's actually gone down. So it's not that they can't stick to the rules, but it's they're being knowingly broken in the showpiece events.
Yeah, it's a shame really, isn't it, because it can take from big events, and when I was in the studio here the last day, and we did discuss it. You know, I said to the lads, you know, when people watch the King George and the two horses pass the line together, you know, I would be very surprised if anybody's first thought was, God, them horses were whipped too much. It was a fantastic race, very enjoyable. Yeah, look, all this stuff comes out in the washing afterwards about fines and whip bans, but look, you know, it's a competitive race. The second horse was coming to the end of his tether, and the winner was had a bit of ground to make off in the back of the last, but he wasn't stopping and he was finishing strong. So in both cases, the whip was necessary. It was unfortunate that it did go over and Paddy Brennan's by quite a bit, but you know, it didn't take from the race. And look, it's like this. My argument is, why not ban jockeys for jockeys that ride keen horses and refuse to pull off the back of the horse in front of them? Because if they clip heels and strike into the back of their horse, they can go through their horse's tendon. The horse could never race again. There's a chance he'd never race again.
Mm.
Whereas a horse getting tapped around the backside with a padded whip 8 or 9 times, I've yet to hear of a horse that had to be retired because he's been hit around the backside with a padded whip 8 or 9 times, or 10 or 11, whatever. But you know, and the jockey gets banned. But you look at a jockey who, you know, he might have room to switch out. I've been in the situation myself. He might have room to switch out off heels, but he hasn't done it. He stayed in behind. He might have galloped all over the horse in front of him. That horse gets back to the yard. The vet checks. His tendons are gone, or he's taken the hock off. That horse can never run again. It's why doesn't that jockey get banned? It's a never-ending argument. But for me, that could end a horse's career. A horse getting a few taps around the backside to win, you know, these big, big races, or a horse that's trying and enjoying his job, you know, but a jockey gets banned for that and fined. It's a never-ending argument, really.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's all about opinion, Sam, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I think it was Barry Geraghty made a very good point a few weeks ago. It must be very difficult to stop hitting a horse when it's clearly responding.
Responding, yeah. And Dickie Johnson made that point as well the other day. If a horse is responding, you know, it's the jockey's going to keep on trying because the horses keep on trying. It's just a natural instinct, and you know, in the heat of the moment, it's very difficult to police.
Yeah, the PJA have said that they are obviously not in favour, and I suppose we kind of need the BHA and the PJA to be on the same page for anything to get done about it, really, don't we?
Of course you do, but look, they'll come to some sort of agreement, but it's no matter what the agreement is, you will not suit both sides completely. It's probably the roughest idea of the happy medium that they can agree on is probably best. But look, everybody's opinion is generally different, so you're not going to be right across the board. So, but it like you say, it'll always rumble on.
Yeah, absolutely right. We'll move on then to look at some of Saturday's racing. Now, a good day of action over at Warwick, and we preview 4 races from that card. 3 of these are pattern races as well, so plenty of good action to enjoy at Warwick on Saturday. We've also got Weatherby, Lingfield and Chelmsford, and a little bit of Irish action from Nace as well. But we start with these Warwick races. We go to the 150 for our first port of call. This is a listed novices chase over 3 miles. 5 runners line up for this one, so a small field, Paddy, but they've all got some sort of chance.
Yeah, I think the Kimbailey mare here, Emily Gray, has scale, because I mean, this was a big entry. There was 18 entries, and we've ended up with 5 runners. I mean, obviously conditions are going to be grueling, but for me, on Emily Gray's performances so far, I think she's pretty much scared these off. I've been very taken with her. Showed a very, very good attitude. She's rated 145 over fences. She is 2 from 5. Tripping ground should be okay. She's got plenty of form on real bad ground, because generally the bulk of her form is Irish form, you know, over this trip and in very deep ground. And I think this 8-year-old mare is really taking the fencing, and David Bass and Kim Bailey have been a very, very good combination, and she looks really on the way up, this mare.
Okay, Emily Gray then getting the pick for Paddy in the 150. We'll go now to the 225. This is Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle Qualifier. 3 mile and 2 is the trip ahead of these 10 runners for this class. 2, plenty arriving here in good heart, Paddy.
Yeah, we've got the 3 I looked at were Isaacstown Lad, Flintham. For me, if he did bounce back, would have a great chance, but he's definitely, without doubt, I think Stable in general are out of form, but Fintan has definitely gone off the boil. But it'll be interesting to see, because he's got some tidy form on his day, this horse, and if he did return to something like his old self tomorrow, he would put up a bold show. But Arctic Gold for the Twist and Davis team, I have been quite taken. I mean, similar sort of thing, you know, he's a grinder, but very good on his feet. Stays, goes on the ground. He's three from four over hurdles, and with a mark of 130, you know, they're tricky races, these qualifiers, because you know it is obviously a stepping stone towards Cheltenham. A lot of these horses, handicap wise, are probably maybe not where they'd like to be mark wise. So, you know, it's just, as I say, a stepping stone. And a lot of these horses that won't really show much tomorrow, come March time, could give a much better performance. But although I did like the Twist and Davis horse, Arctic Gold, he's a model of consistency, and he's actually going for his four timer here. But Isaacstown Lad for Nicky Richards. Now, this horse, without falling at Carlisle 2 runs ago, would actually have won his last 5, and he has got a bit of previous in regards hitting the deck. When you watch him, he looks to be a fantastic jumper, and then other times I don't know what seems to happen, but he can really, really stick in a bad one, and as we've seen around Carlisle, he tipped up there, he's fallen in one of his points, and I think he's been on the floor a few times, but he's definitely on the improve. If punters are watching at home, don't be worried if he does hit a flat spot sort of halfway or maybe just as they get going, because he's done that every single time. But this 9-year-old is really thriving at the minute, and he's in there off a lovely weight tomorrow. And I just think, as long as he can, the obstacles don't get in the way, this could be a nice little pop from there tomorrow. Isaacstown Lad,
then, should he stand up for Paddy in the 2:25 at Warwick? We go to their 3 o'clock now, their big race of the day. This is a Grade 2 novices hurdle. 2.05 is the trip for these 9 runners, and a couple of interesting Willie Mullins candidates have been brought over for this one, Paddy.
Yeah, very, very competitive race this. Really looking forward to it, actually. The Gordon Elliott doesn't travel with any of his horses tomorrow, which unfortunately he did have some entries. Willie's obviously got runners, and Mouse Morris has got a runner in the long distance chase as well. But it's a pity that Gordon didn't travel, but still, we've got no shortage of quality here. And the three I looked at were Thomas Hobson, Open Eagle, and Born Survivor. But I do really think that the Dan Skelton horse, Born Survivor, very, very interesting. I mean, he's a point winner, won his only hurdle start round Warwick, was very taken, and I'm pretty sure I have read several times that Dan Skelton really holds his horse in high regard. In fact, I think the word he used, he was crazy about him, you know. And Dan and Harry have been a very, very prolific combination this year, very, very consistent, you know, and they've got a better standard of horse, and there's no doubt that the fact that Harry's brother Dan has now got the license and a train, it's really revived his career, because he's a fine rider, and he's proven well up to the task here. And although this is a very, very competitive race, like I say, Thomas Hobson and Born Survivor and Open Eagle were my three, probably out of all of them. Born Survivor was going to be my selection, because, you know, the lads obviously like him. I mean, the Cheltenham sale, they paid $220,000 for him after he'd won his point. But he looks worth every penny.
Okay, Born Survivor then to get the better of the Mullins pair for Paddy in that 3 o'clock contest. The final race on today's podcast comes up at 3:35, then a Grade 3 handicap chase here over 3 miles and 5 furlongs. 15 runners to sort out for this one, and it's sure to take some getting.
It will. It won't be, this won't be one for the faint hearted, because 3 mile 5, it'll be the 6th race on heavy ground. It won't be a pretty sight, you know, 3 miles 5, but at least you've got the quality there. You've not got average horses running round over such an extreme distance. But we've got some good old timers here, Sam. Definitely the Venetia horse, Rigadin de Beauchesne, lovely old boy. He's 11 year old now, but still really, really enjoys his racing. He's a course and distance winner, won last time, and he's got his usual blinkers on tomorrow, and Robbie Dunn gets on with him particularly well. I think he actually won this race in 2013, and so he's going to be banged there. And just like so many of the Venetia horses, they really do thrive through this bad ground. I don't know why it is, but they really do cope better than most. But the three I did look at were him, Rigger in the Bow Shen, and the two Alan King horses, Sago Success, and the one that the yard conditional rides, Tom Bellamy, Midnight Prayer. Midnight Prayer isn't getting any younger. He's 11 year old now, but had a good reappearance run. And if he did strip fitter for that run, this old boy, he is well handicapped on old form. And with Tom's £3 off, he's going to be in there off a lovely racing weight, which could really count for a lot if conditions are going to be as expected tomorrow. And for me, I would just have him over his stablemate, Sago Success. But I'm going to stay faithful to the other old boy, the Venetia horse, Rigger in the Bow Shen, because he's been there, done it. And you're going to have plenty metal for a grueling race like that tomorrow. And there's no doubt he's got it in abundance. And so the Venetia horse with regular partner Robbie Dunn, who gets on very well with him on board, that would be my selection, Sam.
Okay, then, Paddy's thoughts on the 3:35 there. Just summarise, please, for us one more time your four picks for the action tomorrow at Warwick.
Yeah, I've got Kim Bailey, David Bass, ridden Emily Gray in the novice chase. Definitely going the right way. Been very taken with her. In the second, I did like Arctic Gold, but I was going to stay faithful to the Nicky Richards horse, Isaacstown Lad. If he can stay on his feet, he's definitely thriving at the minute, this horse, and he's in there off a lovely race in weight and could land a nice pot there tomorrow. In the 3:00, I was going to go with Born Survivor for Dan Skelton. This horse cost a lot of money at the Cheltenham, the Brightwell sale last year after winning his point. And although he's very, very inexperienced, he's there for unexposed, and he looks a proper bit of kit, this horse. But very, very competitive race. But, you know, he's got to show up well here tomorrow if the lads are going to take him to Cheltenham. But for me, he looks the part so far. So Born Survivor for me. And then in the long distance chase, it won't be pretty to watch this, but like I say, you've got some proper old timers here who have been to war before, so they've got the experience and they'll be well up to it, which is what you're going to need tomorrow. And in the 3:35, I've gone with the Venetia Williams, Robbie Dunn ridden, Rigadin de Beauchene.
There we are then, Paddy Aspel's selections for the action on Saturday. Thanks very much for joining me, Paddy, and enjoy the racing at Warwick.
Thanks, Sam.
And we'll be back in the William Hill Racing Radio studio from 12:15 p.m. on Saturday afternoon with Darren Owen, Andy Holding and Mick Norton in the studio for that good card at Warwick. We've also got jumping at Weatherby and two all-weather fixtures at Lingfield and Chelmsford, and hopefully a bit of Irish action from Nace as well. They have an 8 a.m. inspection. Thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.